you fuck around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Never stop fighting for what you believe in and for the people who care about you. Carry yourself with dignity and pride. Demand the best from yourself and be totally unafraid to challenge entrenched interests and failed power structures.
May God bless you all, and may God protect his troops and all those standing watch for America. We have so much to do. It's within our capacity to do it. We just have to remain steadfast. Steadfast. We will complete our mission, and we will continue after our troops are withdrawn, to find means by which we can find any American who wishes to get out of Afghanistan. We will find them and we will get them out. Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
Do you know how much I was dying to laugh then? You probably heard me snorting in the background. I'm really sorry if that happened, but yeah, I anyway, I had to lead off that. For all of anybody who's listening right now, I can see Gabe's reaction. You guys can't. That was just perfect. I wish you could, but we're just doing an audio for this episode. So welcome to episode 17. This is Ray, your host of QTADS FM, and I am with my co-host Gabe of QTADS FM, and I mean, I don't really know where to start with that, but I thought it would be best if we did begin with the President of the United States, Joe Biden. Any thoughts on that, Gabe?
Yeah, there's been a recent poll on MSNBC, traditionally a liberal news source, who said most people who voted for Biden don't think Biden is the one calling the shots. He's kind of a figurehead. And I think it was something around 60% of voters for Biden, even if there's another poll asking if they regret voting for him, and that was also quite bad, but most people don't think Biden is in control, and the question is, who is in control? This old man, the decrepit old man, who really has no idea what's going on, is somebody else is calling the shots, and I'm not sure who that is, but I don't think it's Kamala either. I think Kamala's along for the ride as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder whether it's, like, if people are thinking that, from our perspective, that's huge. And I think I've said this before, I don't know if I've said it on any of the episodes, but if not, well, general people, the general public who are not into everything that we do every day and we do all the research, if they're thinking somebody else is in control but they don't know who, like, how many years have we been saying that? That the governments are shadow governments, they're controlled by someone else. So that's super interesting to hear that there's been a poll like that, because that's making regular people think that, you know, so maybe this is like, I mean, we all know that Joe Biden's the biggest red pill and he's becoming an even bigger red pill as the days go on. But I think that's super interesting because we all know that they're controlled by someone else.
Right. And at this point, it's been admitted on Times Magazine that they did work, so multi-mass media and MSM in general already admitted that they worked as a cohort to overturn this election and played a direct role in censorship and worked together to get Trump out of office. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that article?
I've not seen it. Obviously, I'm aware that that's the shit that they did. Like, you remember all the Project Veritas whistleblower stuff, and they actually said that? Like, CNN representatives said that that's what they were doing?
I'll pull up that in a little bit and read it, but I'd like to bring a blast from the past with Obama.
Okay.
Do you remember? So Obama said at one point, you know what? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or a front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement with my sweats looking through the stuff, and I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I would be fine with that. And this was in reference to him having a third term. So, kind of suspicious. It didn't age well for him, because where is Obama? Where is Hillary? Where is Bill? Who is actually pulling the strings?
Mm-hmm. I've never heard that before. That's new to me. I've not heard that he said that.
It's a great interview.
Apparently Hillary's walking along the beach. That's where she is.
She looked quite different, didn't she?
I love the memes that have come out of that picture. It's just so funny. But yeah, but even so, like, we know that it's you know, it's people higher, even higher than that, that are kind of, like, controlling all of that. And did you hear right at the end of that clip, he said that he was instructed on who to speak to first in terms of the press? I would tell anybody who's listening to go listen to his speech if you haven't already. Try and drink, like, 10 coffees before you do, because you'll fall asleep. I was always so excited for Trump to speak. Not in the beginning, because I wanted to kind of... I didn't know much about him, because I'd only heard what the mainstream media said. So it was a bit like, I was a bit apprehensive, so I was taking on what he was saying, and he'd do like 2.5 hours, never call a lid. He'd always answer the press's questions. They weren't questions that were already, like, preempted for him to know. They were, as far as I'm concerned, that's the case. But I was always, like, excited, like, by the end of it, to listen to Trump. And I don't think there's not many times I've listened to Biden recently, but I sat there and I thought, okay, he's got a pretty big statement coming with what's happened, which we'll go into. He might bring some fire, because I've seen Biden. He can get angry with Trump mainly. And he's like, shut up, man! Like that. Come on, man! He can bring it sometimes, but this...
But even that, his temperance isn't real good or sophisticated. He doesn't really hit the points like Trump did. Like, Trump could subtly call out an entire ideology with a simple statement. Whereas Biden is kind of blatant rage. And it's not subtle at all, it's not well thought out, and it's a raw emotion in most cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was lackluster. It's like his batteries are running out, like, as he gets... But to be fair, that's usually the case whenever I've seen him speak. His batteries are running out by the end of the speech. This was at the beginning, like, he'd not even charged the batteries up. It was wild to see. It wasn't wild. It was sleepy, but yeah, it was it was definitely interesting.
And earlier about who was actually pulling the strings, with the business organization, the Times Magazine article, it says, in a way, Trump was right. There was a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. The pact was formalized in a terse, little-noticed joint statement of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, in which the forces of labor came together with forces of capital to keep peace and oppose Trump's assault on democracy. Ironically, And then the scenario the shadow campaigners were desperate to stop was a Trump victory. And it goes more on to, but whoever is pulling the strings, it is whoever funded for this. So what Biden did, from what I've seen in the campaign donations, is he made deals with big tech media like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, you name it, even Amazon, Google, where they would be censoring and inaccurately sharing information against Trump. And somewhere, I can't find it now, but it at one point it did state, a well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. They were not rigging the election, they were fortifying it. And they believe the public needs to understand the system's fragility in order to ensure the democracy in America endures. Everything that that I just read is anything but ensuring democracy thrives. Mm-hmm. Democracy is not big tech corporate overlords ruling the country. That is not democracy. That is a corporate elite, authoritarianism, that are acting in their best interests, not the interest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get that out there. Like, it's so obvious. They put this in Time magazine.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
So these are the people pulling the strings.
Yeah. I was going to say, where is it from? And I was pretty sure that I recognized the specific article that you... it's nice to hear it back, though, because I've not heard it for a while, or, you know, read it for a while. And
it's so specific, though. And this is... I mean, I don't really respect Time magazine, but they're not known for blatant misinformation. Even though I don't trust CNN, I mean, they still do have some good sources when they put out an article, even if it's misinformed. But Time magazine put this out.
Yeah, which is... It kind of makes you think, is that going to be an article that's looked back on in a few years' time as something that... And you know what it's like? It's like they do tell you what's really happening. That's how they get away with it. They've always done it that way. But yeah, I was going to jump back to talk about...
Sorry, I can't jump in with that one.
No, I love that. It was about what was written in that article. I think it was to do with... It was definitely to do with who controlled what. Anyway, I've lost my train of thought. Sorry about that, guys. But yeah, I think that's a really, really good and informative piece in terms of what actually is happening. It's very, very well written as well, because it's not like... And it's funny, right? Because how many times have we said this? And we're called conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, and at the same time, we've talked about this in previous pods. Since when, if you actually look at what a conspiracy theorist means, it doesn't mean you're basing things off of nothing. A conspiracy theorist is looking at the evidence in front of them and connecting the dots. So a conspiracy in general is a group of people working to undermine a larger population. Now, a theory is theorizing about how they're doing that and how we can protect ourselves using the information we have available. So I don't know why conspiracy theory became a taboo term or a term synonym for whack job nutcase, because I've never met a single conspiracy theorist that isn't set on real data and real information. And while theorizing, you might branch out into some interesting realms of thought that are, most would say, disconnected from reality, but then the dots connect. Like, I there's different between hypothesizing and actually asserting, no, the things aren't connecting. What the story they told us about 9/11 doesn't add up. So there's a real difference there, I think. I hope I said that okay.
Yeah, that was perfect. But there's also that really cool quote that says, you don't have to be a meteorologist to know that it's raining. Like...
I like that.
I love that so much because it's so true. Like, it's all happening in front of our eyes, and people are saying to us, well, do you have a PhD? Are you a doctor? Are you this, that, and the other? What do you know, type thing? And it's like, well, I'm using my brain, and I've never felt insulted when people say that I'm a conspiracy theorist, because it means that I'm actually using my brain to think about things, and I'm okay with that. Like, okay, cheers, guys. Like, I think there's a lot of people that are just not able to do that and think about things anymore, or they don't want to think about it because it's too... They can, maybe they're scared to go down the rabbit hole, I don't know. But,
ooh, well, I'm sure they are.
I remembered what I was going to say, because I was going to touch back on Biden and how in the article it said that they used certain ways, like big tech, etc., to basically ruin Trump and push people towards voting. It wasn't even voting for Biden, it was voting against Trump, right? So whoever they possibly could, and everybody would have known, I guess, if they voted for a different party, it wouldn't have made much of a difference. They would have to vote blue. We've seen, even post-election, fraudulent election, but post-election, we've seen that it's extended further than that. And basically, every time that anything happens that's bad, the Biden administration or regime, should I say, make a terrible decision, or roll back an EO that Trump made, which was, I don't know why, most of them were rolled back, but they were, and all of that stuff, the media, big tech, still are complicit. So it didn't just stop. Like, it's not just, right, okay, election's done, Biden's won, and we've done the job. It's carried on further, and they've hidden all of that, like him calling a lid every time. I tweeted about this earlier today. Jen Psaki doing his dirty work, and I know everybody would have probably said that Kayla did that in the end for Trump, but Trump always, especially when COVID happened, Trump was always out there at the front in the briefing room, like always. And I have barely seen Biden coming out every day. Like, he was there every day for 2.5 hours, every single day. And Biden's just like, I don't even want to go.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Biden denied to have a cognitive test, whereas Trump had it, and the doctor said, these are very difficult questions, and he passed them flawlessly. And this was before the election, I think. And the next 4 years, Trump proved he was very cognitive aware. He spoke he had a schedule of what he was doing every single day. Mm-hmm. And it was like 18-hour days every single day. He didn't keep, it was completely transparent about what he was doing. So even if you don't like Trump, you can at least see the difference between how Trump operated transparently as a president versus Biden, who we rarely know what he's doing or where he is or why it took so long to talk about Afghanistan. And now Kamala is off in Southeast Asia talking about gender studies and women equality.
Yeah, what is she doing? I don't actually know this. I've seen some posts, but like I've kind of like brushed over them. Kamala's nowhere to be seen, but she is somewhere doing something. Do you know what she's doing, Gabe? Like, what?
Yeah, she's meeting with Vietnam. Ironically, what's happening in Afghanistan is very similar to what happened in Vietnam 50 years ago. And now she's visiting Vietnam to talk about, it's both gender studies and women equality studies, I think. Or something rather insignificant in comparison to what is going down in the Middle East. And I'm not saying women rights and equality is not important. What I'm saying is, there are more important things right now for the vice president to be focusing on.
Well, yeah, especially if they do manage to get Biden out, I suppose.
So I did want to talk about that, and I'll try keeping it short. So the mainstream media has been supporting Biden with, like, everything they possibly can. It's like they're pushing him around in a wheelchair, and they know... He's not doing any of the work himself. They're keeping him up on, I was going to say crutches, but he's way far gone. He's too far gone to even be using crutches. He's in a wheelchair right now, and they're pushing him around. They're putting him to bed. They're wiping his butt.
I was going to say, he's not even in a wheelchair. He's in, like, that hoist that they have to use to get them in and out of bed to, like, wash them.
Really? And it's sad to see, but it's even worse to see that the American population, some of them, are waking up to what havoc Biden has caused across the country, and some of them are doubling down or not addressing it, not even thinking about it. But about Biden, so they were supporting him, and then all of a sudden, this Afghanistan mess, now they're starting to demonize him. Now they're starting to talk about the mistakes he's made. And it almost seems scripted, as if they were waiting for just the right amount of time for him to make too many mistakes and then have him out of office and get Kamala in. It seems too scripted to me. It seems like it was a plan from the start to get Kamala in and Biden out. And Biden was going to be the front runner. Democrats trusted him. He was under Obama. He was a well-respected politician. I mean, a couple decades ago, but it seemed planned.
But is Kamala, like, completely blame-free in this situation? I guess we don't know that, but, like, it's just as a question, if they were going to say, right, oh, well, fuck Joe, we're going to get Kamala in. Like, I'm sorry, but she must have been and had a role in the decisions that were made to how this played out.
I'm sure she does, but do you think the media will report on that? Do you think it will matter to the general population that is following their narrative? Even if Kamala does have a role to play, which she obviously does as VP, I don't think the media will report fairly on that.
And you know what's crazy? That in terms of what you just said, like, it's not even fucking up to the, it's not even up to the media. Like, it's down to the I guess 25th or whatever is, like, down to, is it Senate? You guys have such a weird system. I guess you all vote on, like, and say, they'll all cast the vote, right, and say, I don't want him as, that's what they did for Trump when they tried to impeach Trump, right? Oh, it's not impeachment, sorry. Anyway, we've had, just really quickly, we've actually had people on mainstream media who have been interviewed that say that he should be tried in court, like, military court.
Yeah.
That's really interesting that it's gone from, like, it skipped right to that point, and that's coming out on the TV. If we look back to everything that we've gone through, like, over the past 2 years, I don't even know. It feels like it's been 5 years. It's been 2 years. Not even 2 years. 1.5 years, okay, of this whole thing. If we'd have ever been sat here and thought that they were going to say on TV that Joe Biden should be tried in military court, that's pretty big shit. And maybe it's just, like, words, and they're not really ever going to do anything, but still, hearing it on the TV or a news station is kind of like, we are kind of here now. It's getting pretty crazy.
You're falling into their trap, I think, Ray. I think that they're only saying things like that to make people who have been seeing the corruption a little bit more content. Like, finally, I've been saying that Biden shouldn't be in office from the start. At least they're doing something about it now, when really some of the bigger issues are, it's lip service. They don't really have any intention. They'll impeach him in the same way that Biden and the MSM supported when Biden said, well, it was actually Trump's fault because his withdrawal date from Afghanistan was set for May 1st. And really what Biden should have been doing is planning an alternative withdrawal tactic, which he didn't do. I don't think that having, it's almost like they're trying to set you up to, for not you, but other people who are more in the middle ground, saying, thank God Biden is out. Now we can get Kamala in. She's young. She's a woman, first woman in office. I think they're almost setting people up for excitement and catering to people who have been bitching about Biden for months.
Yeah.
That's just my take. But I don't think that it's any better getting Kamala in. I think she's actually more dangerous.
That's a really good take, though. Like, I see what you're saying. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm hearing it on TV, and I never would have thought I would have ever heard anything like that on TV. But just, like, the fact it's in... I guess the fact that it's in the script is just...
Right.
Like, whoa, okay, this is going somewhere. That's just triggered me to go back to a video, actually. I wasn't even going to pop this in the podcast, but it's something that my mom sent me. Shout to mom. If anybody wants to follow my mom, please do. Do you know most of the things, including the latest Doctor? Is it Zelico?
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about the guy talking to the Jewish council?
Yeah, she sent me that. My mom. Ooh,
your mom?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to follow her, it's her page is The Voice of Reason 24. So I'm just scrolling up our messages now because she sent me something to do with, basically, they went out and asked lots of people what they thought about or why they loved Kamala Harris. And I think that it's something that's worth probably playing a little bit of a clip for you guys for.
Oh,
I think it was on Fox. If I can find it, if not, we'll move on. But I know that she put God Help Us under the... Oh, watch this. God Help Us is what she put. Bless, I love her so much. Okay. So...
Kids love Kamala, but don't know why, Allah. Yeah.
Sorry. I just have to do this first, but... I hate this guy.
I don't even know where to go after
Is that Gutfield guy?
Yeah, they give Kamala a 5-star review. For what? They haven't a clue. Despite a recent survey saying nearly half of Americans disapprove of the VP's performance, young people applaud her when asked by conservative news site Campus Reform. Check it out.
I really like her. I think it's very inspiring to see our first, you know, woman vice president.
I do love having a woman, person of color, Democratic leader in that position. And I think she's a great representation. I feel like definitely it's amazing to have a woman vice president, and we're making great headway with that. And she's a definite girl boss. Sorry.
It's person boss. Anyway, when asked why they love her, much like Alicia Silverstone in the 90s, they were clueless.
Can you name any specific accomplishments that you're super proud of?
Besides her being the first on so many different forums, that would be my first thing. Off the top of my head, I can't think of many of them.
No, honestly, I don't really keep up with politics. On social media, I've seen that she does great posts, so... Yeah. Can you name any specific accomplishments that she's had since she's taken office?
No, not any specific ones, particularly. No.
What policies specifically do you agree with?
Can you tell me some? Maybe I don't know what her policies are. Maybe you can just cut that part out.
She's destined for TV. I have to admit, that's pretty funny. How funny? Let's ask the expert.
What do you want to know?
I want to give you the opportunity.
Oh, she is adorable.
Anyway, so yeah, that just shows you what the general people think about Kamala, which is not... Oh, what was it? Sorry, she's a woman of color. A woman of color. That's it.
It's identity politics pandering. That's all it is. And even family I know, that's all they say. Well, I'm really glad to see a woman in power, a position of power, and even better, a woman of color. They don't have a clue what she stood for ever. And that's it. That's that.
It's kind of crazy because she could be, and I mean, I've never met a woman, but if people are really viewing the world like this... She could be devil incarnate, right? And just because she's a woman and a person of color, it means it's fine. That's what scares me about this. They know absolutely nothing about what she believes in. Like, at least some people, especially people, obviously Democrats, blue voters, some of them actually have an idea-ish. They have an idea of, like, what their beliefs are, the people who they're voting for. believe what they believe, and they're in agreement in agreement with them, right? But
yeah.
I just, for them to be like, oh, it's amazing, but I'm not really into politics, I don't really know why I just said that, is basically what we got there.
Right. And I do get that. So I get called a white supremacist.
Really?
Or, oh my God, if I say I don't support Kamala Harris as vice president, their initial reaction is, oh, you don't want a woman of color in power. When I would love to have a woman of color in power, but more importantly than her gender and identity and race is her
character.
Capability. Yeah, competence.
Yeah.
How competent is she to play the role she's given? You can't just... That's like me applying to be a doctor. Let's say I was a Kenyan woman who wanted to be a doctor, and I was getting employed, and they bring me in for the interview, and they say, oh, well, we don't have too many Kenyan women as doctors. Why don't we just hire her as a doctor? Meanwhile, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. You can't bring somebody in on identity politics. It does not make sense. I'm happy to have a woman in office, just somebody qualified.
Yeah, and I suppose the reason why they do this is so that they can kind of distract you away from what Kamala's actual beliefs are or whatever she's done in the past, which we've talked about probably before, but most people know. And all the things that she's done previously, people, they're not going to report on that. They're just going to basically be like, look at all this glitter we're going to throw all over Kamala. She's a woman and she's black. Or, I don't even know. I guess she's mixed race. Right.
I mean, she's not even black. But do you remember when, what was her name? She was running for president. It wasn't Amy Klobuchar. It was the other gal. She said she was part Native American.
Pocahontas.
No, not, yes, but no.
No, but that's what we called her. Elizabeth. Elizabeth.
Oh,
Warren.
Warren. Elizabeth, there we go. Warren. And so she was pandering to people who had sympathy for minorities, like Native Americans, which we really should be talking more about that here in the U.S. and the genocide we committed. But they don't. They just say, oh, well, I have part, and I think it turned out to be false. I think she turned out to not have any in her, or like less than 1%.
Oh, she's like white.
Oh, yeah. She's the, if you had to pick an example of a white liberal, just put her picture up there next to Nancy Pelosi. So Kamala, identity politics, dangerous. We could talk about this all day. There was another thing about oxymorons I wanted to bring up, though, real quick.
Yeah, huh?
So, it hadn't occurred to me, but you know the CDC here in the U.S., right?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know, and I hate that the entire world...
The new religion.
Seriously. Seriously. Unfortunately, the entire world is basing their protocol off of most of what the United States is doing. Same thing with the Pfizer. So, and it shouldn't be that way. So it's unfortunate it is. But we have the most money invested into Pfizer and Moderna, and we are their greatest influence. Or I should say we are being influenced by them to influence the world. We shouldn't be the staple mark. Every country should be doing their own independent studies.
Do you know,
but,
just to jump in, but I was thinking about this the other day. I just find it so weird that Trump's operation... Sorry, dogs. Phil, it was me.
Okay, what?
Trump's Operation Warp Speed
mm-hmm.
is the world's warp speed. And that kind of, like...
Whoa.
Yeah. Don't you find that weird? Like, no other country was trying to get it.
Huh.
Yeah, right. Like, I was thinking about this now. Like, I sound like I'm having some sort of brain aneurysm. But I was sat and I was like, hold on a minute. So, when we talk, because obviously there's so many different opinions about this, but Trump's warp speed is the world's warp speed. And when you think about it like that, that actually genuinely means that whatever is happening in America affects the rest of the world, which we've talked about so many times. And obviously, like, China and... fuck knows. But basically, the UK... And if you look at... I suppose we did produce AstraZeneca, which was done in Oxford, I think, which was trash and was not allowed anywhere. They said no, and it killed loads of people. But... And still will, no doubt. But yeah, when I thought about it like that, I was like, damn. That whatever was being created, apparently in record time, and I do have some thoughts on that. I don't think it was. I think it's been created for a very long time. Is basically is dictated to every other country in terms of the rollout of the vaccine, including Israel. So, like, yeah, that's something to ponder and think about.
And this isn't, I don't really want to get back into Trump and Biden, but another thing is that nobody gives Trump credit for actually rolling out a vaccine. And forewarning, we're not going to get into whether Trump supports vaccines or not. I'd rather not do that right now. But if he had not done Operation Warp Speed, he would have been demonized. It was a lose-lose for him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he rolled it out or not, people are going to find some way to, just like when he banned China from banned travel from China, he was demonized for that. Later, it turned out to be a good idea. They never went back and said, wow, he actually made a really good decision right here. So they're not going to do the same thing with vaccines, but Trump deserves a lot of credit that has not been given to him.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the wall on the border. Like, so, and it is interesting. He is really, most countries in the entire world believe in border control. It's not that controversial of an idea.
I don't
like
think
basic
the UK
border
do,
control. Huh?
I don't think the UK do at all. As in, they just don't give a shit.
Yeah, but ironically, you're locked into the country. So they don't give a shit about border control, but yet they're locking their citizens onto an island.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Go on.
Well, this is a little... I'm not actually finishing. I wanted to say the CDC. So I hadn't realized this, or I hadn't thought about it. The CDC stands for Center for Disease and Control. There's nothing about health in that title. It's literally the Center for Disease and Control. Have you ever thought about that?
No, because I didn't put the and in. So it was, to me, like, initially it would be control of disease.
I guess I put the, technically it's not,
no,
the
I
and
see what
doesn't
you're saying.
Exist.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just putting that together as
double
it's
meaning.
Not necessarily controlling disease. It is disease and control.
Yeah.
And that would be in reference to pathogens, viruses, and control. It has nothing to do with improving people's health, and they still will not recommend vitamin D, sunlight. They don't recommend... They know the masks don't work. They know PCR doesn't work. And same thing with the media. The media doesn't correct themselves after 18 months of being wrong. They won't go back out and say, oh, we have new studies and new reports. They're going to roll with the narrative they already had and had been feeding people. So unfortunately, even the people interested in learning more but don't realize that they're being manipulated by the media are not hearing the new research. They're not correcting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an issue.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I don't know.
Because... And this is
maybe that was more profound in my head.
I love it. I was just gonna say, like, before you finish there with that, we always get into COVID. We always get into vaccines. I kind of love it though. I absolutely love talking about COVID. I love talking about these. They're not really vaccines, but I could literally do it all day. But I just want to ask you, because I totally do run and I didn't run with this theory, but I totally do run with this theory. Okay, by the way, you just pulled a face when I said I totally run. You were like, no, you don't. You definitely do not run, Ray. You do not run anywhere. You don't even run to the corner shop. Like, no, you don't. Okay, right. So I definitely run with the theory that this, the whole Operation Warp Speed thing, which people have an issue with, was to ensure there was a 4 to 5 year lockdown whilst they created a vaccine and did all the trials, etc., etc., and then could fully, forcibly inject. So, obviously, there's a little bit of, like, cloudiness over this new FDA approval. We're not going to go into that. We did that in a live. If anybody wants to go watch it, it's on the profile. But I do run with that theory. I did, because at one point I was really pissed off about the whole thing, and I was like, why is he saying this? But when I actually sit down and think about it, and I look at, like, the definition of a vaccine and the fact that these aren't vaccines, the mRNA technology, and the one that he had is more like a vaccine than the mRNA, because it's got the antibodies in. I want to ask you what you think. Do you think that theory is legit? I mean, obviously, it probably holds something, but if we were under Hillary, what do you think would have happened?
I'm glad you asked. And I agree with you. From everything you've said so far, I agree with you. It seems that Trump was a fluke in... Do you remember reading about Operation Lockhead? Or I think it was Lockstep. Lockstep. Operation Lockstep? Or,
yeah.
Yeah, by the Rockefeller Foundation, released in 2010. And their goal was to initiate most of what we're already seeing in 2030. And it seems like Trump was unexpected, and that he had his own plan for the world. And that either rushed them or put them ahead of schedule, and they weren't necessarily... It seems like they're scrambling. And if Hillary had been in office, we probably would have seen a much faster development of authoritarianism takeover, and that checks out. I think we'd be in a much more difficult situation if Hillary had been president, and Trump being the way he is, the entire system was trying to take him down, and he's not the kind of guy to go down without a fight, and he was probably putting that out there to foil their plans any way he could. And that seems to be what happened. I mean, I think that's a good theory that you have.
Well, you've just given me, like, another train of thought now, which I didn't think about, which is amazing. But if they were scrambling, and they presumed Hillary would come in, etc., and they would have had 4 years to create the worst thing that they could create, and they only had a short amount of time to create something, and they were scrambling, they had to do it because there was so much pressure, that is a completely different ballgame in terms of creating a vaccine or whatever you want to call it. So that's really good to think about, because just jumping back to what I said earlier, I was thinking, like, oh, you know, I think they've had quite a few years to make it. But if he was a monkey wrench in the whole machine, they probably didn't have the time that they thought they would have. So, interesting. I like that. Thought-provoking.
And so part of that is the mRNA vaccine had been in development for about 4 or 5 years. They'd been working on it. It's not like they just started developing it and then 10 months later released it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the early works. And it wasn't really for mass vaccination. We've both seen the videos of the mRNA creator, that doctor.
Dr. Malone.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was stating that it's being misused, and he would never recommend mass vaccinating the population with mRNA gene therapy. It's not vaccination. We need to get that through. It's literally not vaccination. I had people at the CDC hang up for me, because they called the vaccine a vaccine, and I stated, technically, it's not a vaccine, and and they'd be like, oh, you're one of those people. And shortly later, I'd get hung up on.
It's fucking crazy.
So even the CDC, they don't respond to people who are bringing up basic facts. It's gene therapy. There's no way around it. It's not technically a vaccine. It's not using dead viral material.
Mm-hmm.
But another gap. Oh, so part of the reason I think they're in a rush is how many mistakes have they been making? And it comes down to something really simple. Hear me out on this.
Okay.
Why is a 14-year-old child getting the exact same dosage as a 300-pound man that is 30 years old? Why is that happening? So if they were so complex with the science and the safety, why would these two people who are drastically different, they could be different genders, different body mass indexes, different ages, different diet, but they're going to receive the exact same dosage of a vaccine? Like, how had they not thought that through? That just does not make sense.
Yeah, I wish everybody could see the video version of this right now, because I'm sat, like, I'm nodding so hard my head's going to fall off. I'm pulling the most ridiculous face, because, yeah, like, this is something that I think me and you have discussed before. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to inject, especially literally are talking about injecting children under 12 with this thing. And I mean, to be fair, people are normalized because they're like, oh, well, what's another injection to the other, like, what, 72 injections they get before they're at a certain age or whatever it is. I suppose they would feel like that's why I don't think normies are too bothered, because kids get vaccinated more than adults. So if we're like talking about how their brain works when they hear this stuff, they're gonna be more normalized to children being vaccinated than adults are. And I was thinking about this the other day, they're not gonna get pissed off, guys. Like, as much as we tell them how dare they inject our kids with this, they're already injecting our kids with stuff, the same people. So why is another one gonna make a difference, you know? But I think in the UK, just to kind of update everyone, try and use my brain right now, they're trying to approve it from 12 to 16, but there are people on the panel who are trying to stop it. They don't see a reason for it, which is kind of weird to me, because I would have thought they would have pushed it. And until that point happens, and I know that it is happening in the US, right? It's over 12s are being injected, right?
In the US, that's what was just approved this last Monday.
Yeah. So they are injecting children with it now. And as much as it's... I can't even think of a word. Evil doesn't cut it. Abomination doesn't cut it. It's just horrific. That doesn't even cut it. But as much as it's that, it is also up to the parent. So we have to look at who allows someone to inject their child with that. What kind of parent does that? And we do feel responsible for all of the kids. Well, I do, personally. Not every single child, but you know what I mean? Like, just this moral feeling of, like, I feel responsible for all of Earth's children, and if the kid's not mine, it doesn't matter. But...
Of course.
They have a guardian who is... either accepting of this or not accepting of this. No, how doesn't matter how much we fight back, it's up to the parent at the end of the day. And that, I guess that's the battle that we fight. But yeah, like, somebody earlier on one of my posts was commenting, obviously they found me, I don't know how they found me, but they definitely found me, and they said that Dr. Robert Malone said that mRNA shouldn't be used in this form, only for children and young adults. And I don't know whether that's the case, but even so, why does that not make you think, oh, okay, there's a problem here? The inventor of mRNA is saying that there's a problem. We shouldn't be injecting it into children. But This is a full-blown episode for another time on kids and injecting children. I think we should just do, because I'm rambling now. Okay. So,
well, bookmark on that. That's a rain check. At some point, let's talk about the children, how they're being affected overall.
Yeah.
But unless we want to really go into that, that needs to be a bookmark because it's such a large topic.
But the normalization thing, I think, is very real. And anybody who's listening who doesn't seem to be getting through to people, I use my personal profile as like a test, because there's a lot of people in there I know think the opposite to me. And if I post something about children being injected, nobody responds. But if I posted the article about the dogs being killed, you know, the rescue dogs in Australia, because they couldn't get people to come out and pick them up or deal with them because they don't want people traveling around in lockdown. They don't want you to do your online shopping, etc. About 5 people responded who think to the opposite of me. And it just kind of shows you, like, and I love dogs. My life is dogs. But they believe that dogs are more of an emotive subject than children. And that's a problem. So we are kind of fighting against that. But moving on, because we're going to rain check on that, right, Gabe?
Yeah, I'm here.
I want to move back to Afghanistan. Maybe we should call this whole episode on Afghanistan. But
I hadn't really used to live there.
Dude, do you know what? I actually would probably prefer it out there with a little hut with no phone and a donkey. Apparently, Afghanistan.
Did you just say a little pot and a donkey?
A little hut. Like a little...
Oh, a hut.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they have a ton of great weed out there. I've talked to people who got back from tours in Afghanistan, and they say that if it wasn't so chaotic, it is beautiful out there. Mm. Absolutely amazing. They would love to live there if things weren't like they were.
Yeah. Did you see, like, I don't think I posted it, but G posted it. But the soldiers showing the Afghanis the pictures of 9/11, and none of them knowing what the fuck that they were talking about. They were just like, I don't know what that is. Because I'd just love to live like that. I would love to live a life in the middle of nowhere and not know who the fuck Joe Biden is. I really would. That would be so nice. So nice. Oh, Nancy Pelosi. And on the topic of Nancy Pelosi, because we're jumping back to the subject, there's a video here that I have that I want to play for you guys. And it's Benny Johnson. I don't know if anybody follows Benny Johnson, but he's all right. I don't know. Can't really put
him. No, I like him. The clip is just painful. How much of it are you going to play?
Like the first bit. Because basically it's going to show you how much she does not give a shit. That, is it 13 Marines? Maybe even more now that have died. Obviously Afghanis have died. 170 Afghans have died. But definitely servicemen. I mean, one is something to talk about. But Pelosi did not mention it in her speech that she did. But he's going to explain it. So I'll just play it now. I'm not going to play the whole thing of her talking because it was just too long. But I just want, because this is, I was saying this to my mom. I was like, how do people vote for these people? How do they not see through it? Anyway, let's go.
Today marked the deadliest day for the American military in over 10 years, as 13 that we know of right now, Americans lost their lives attempting to run an airport checkpoint in Kabul. This is a horrifying tragedy, a failure of leadership, and this administration and those involved in it must resign. Nancy Pelosi, one of the most decrepit enablers of this administration, a political goblin herself, who is 80 years old and utterly contemptuous, who spent the weekend partying it up at a private estate inside of a castle in Napa Valley, spent today, the bloodiest day in American military history over the last 10 years, giggling. She addressed a crowd today, and she laughed and laughed and laughed, told jokes, and didn't once mention the loss of lives that her and the regime she helped install created. I will play for you this venal, wicked soundbite from Nancy Pelosi.
And I accept your kind words on behalf of the House Democrats who had the courage to elect a woman Speaker of the House when it was new. I've seen Carmen and this W challenge rise up in the ranks from one position to another. Thank you for your great leadership as well. It's an honor to be here with you and the mayor and Malia Cohen and Supervisor Stefani, who represents the district I live in here, Kimberly Ellis, Allison Goh, and of course, Carmen Chu. It's great to be here with you. I just have some special guests with me today. Of course, my daughter, Christine, who has on her purple and white, which she always wears. And two of my college roommates from Trinity College, Washington, D.C., Rita Meyer and Celia Haggerty. And I have on our scarf from the college. Imagine that it was purple and gold. The colors of the suffragettes, Rita and Cecilia, who are with us today. I'm honored they're here to get a taste of San Francisco and how enthusiastic we are about women. 101 years ago, after fighting, marching, struggling,
right, well,
starving.
We're talking about women's rights again, which women... This is an episode that I would love to do with you. Women have equal rights. We have equal opportunity. What third wave feminism wants is equality of outcome. And I don't know any woman who wants to be a bricklayer or a scaffolder or do any labour. This might be people listening who think this sounds sexist from a woman to another woman. They want to sit in an office, eat salad and gossip. That's all they want to do. Or they want to be in, like, a nursing role and a care role. I can see that. Because we are like that. We're more nurturing. Men are not supposed to be that nurturing. So, like, male nurse is kind of weird to me. But still, they're doing good work. So I won't complain. But until we want to talk about, like, this is probably, again, another rain check here. But this is something I'm purely passionate on. I cannot believe that Nancy Pelosi sat there talking about the suffragettes 101 years ago, whilst the same day there's an explosion at Kabul Airport because of Joe Biden's incompetence and his administration's incompetence.
Agreed. You've said it brilliant, and I'm not really sure how she got voted in. I think she's San Francisco's district senator, or that's where she came up from. But yeah, no, Nancy Pelosi is not she's not a representative of the feminist movement happening in the U.S. And there are old school traditional beliefs about roles both male and female can play, and I believe that there are strong, smart women who are able to compete in certain fields of professional life on par with men. And I believe there are certain men who can compete on par, like male nurses, with certain female nurses. However, genetically, they do seem to have different roles to play, and that should not be ignored. And we should embrace what we are able to do best.
Yes.
And I think that pretending that all women can do exactly what men can do and all men can do exactly what women can do is a misconception, it's misleading, and it's just not true. And that's not to diminish either of the genders or sexes. I'm told, I got bitched out because I accidentally confused gender with sex. And apparently there are only two sexes, but there are over 60 genders.
Really?
And I got ranted at. I guess that's how they distinguish the difference. you can gender identify as like whatever you want. Like, I'm a watermelon now. but there are only two sexes, so they acknowledge that. But no, I think traditional gender sex, biological sex, should be acknowledged. And that might be a good area to talk about. I don't know how much time we have left, but not super political.
We can keep going. We're hitting an hour. Yeah, because this is a whole other conversation. I'm fully make trad life great again and traditional gender roles coming back to what they were before, which I think worked really well. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, they obviously don't work well because there were so many like issues in relationships and that kind of thing. But the nuclear family to me is so important. And maybe I'm lucky because I've had my mom and my dad and I've had that structure. But because of that, I appreciate it and I can see how it would make an impact separately. But yeah, I'm like, to go off tangent and to talk about, you know, gender roles, and I know you mentioned like the differences in biology and that kind of thing. What people need to realize is that men and women are different, and it doesn't mean that we're any less, and it doesn't mean that you guys are any less. It just means that we complement each other. It's like yin and yang. Like, it's just, that's how it's like dark and light. Like, that's how it's supposed to be. And for me, I would love everybody to start to realize that going out and having intercourse with whatever you can see, or getting drunk, or having this kind of like, I don't know,
diluted idea of what a companionship with somebody you are with to raise a family in.
Yeah.
It seems kind of diluted now. Like, people's standards have lowered. The bar has been lowered to somewhere around the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. That's you see, you said it for me. You said it better than I could say it.
So, I totally agree with the nuclear family and more traditional beliefs, but I also think that it shouldn't be expected. I think that women and men, if a woman is passionate about what she's doing with work, I don't think they should be secluded to the kitchen, basically. Like, if she is passionate about her career, that should be just as fine. But it also shouldn't be, like, let's say she does want to clean the house, take care of the kids, cook dinner, and make sure the man providing financial stability is comfortable. I don't think that should be looked at as in sexist. So if she wants to go out and pursue a career, that should be just as okay and just as acceptable as her wanting to be a stay-at-home mother. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be either or.
Yeah, because a third wave feminism as well is basically demonize women who would like to do that. But there's another factor to it. It's not just that. I mean, if I had the choice, I would rather be a stay-at-home mother. I know it's a very difficult job, be that for my family. But the society that we're in now has made it very difficult for men to be the sole breadwinner of the family as well, and to be able to provide enough money for everybody. So I think it's like there's two things going on. An economic thing, where a woman would need to work to be able to provide properly, not like go and spend and do whatever they want, but to be able to actually have something, you know, sustainable. And also the fact that they're trying to say that, you know, women can go and do whatever they want. Like, personally for me, I would rather work for my husband and my kids, as work as the work as it may be, but, you know, get through each day, than a guy in a suit that is going to go home and feed his family and he's nothing to do with me. But obviously, like you said, everybody should have the choice, and I think being demonized for that is definitely an issue that's happening, and because they're being demonized, that's pushing that agenda more. So that whole agenda about how like women need to go and be potentially even a breadwinner, like my sister-in-law, she earns more than my brother, so she feels like she's the provider. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily if she's happy and to go for that. But it's just crazy how everything's changed over time. But yeah, go ahead, Gabe.
There's a tracking of when women joined the workforce en masse. And it started in the early 70s, late 60s. And there's a theory that it was actually by design, that the feminist movement was specifically for more taxes to be paid, where so early 60s one income household was quite doable, and they were having like 5-6 kids back then.
Yeah.
And so, but over time the feminist movement expanded, and women have been able to take a job anywhere in the US since the 40s. World War II is when it really started. So yeah. The feminist movement started long after women were already allowed to go to college, to work wherever they wanted to. And I'm not talking about the pay scales, because those were a little bit sexist, to be honest. Men were generally being paid more. But the point is that it split every household into two incomes. Their children were spending more time at daycare, at school, away from their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can't have a one income household. You almost need both parents to be working full time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was on purpose. My gut feeling is that it was by design.
Yes.
But it slowly happened, whether it was by design or not. That's what happened. And now children have far less time around their mothers or their fathers even. So I think that's a big issue that's not being addressed.
And more time in the education system, which we've seen, like some of the teachers, the videos.
I'm sorry, you said education. Did you mean indoctrination centers? Okay.
I thought so. I thought my audio actually broke up, but you were like, no, can you just translate that, please, to indoctrination centers? Yeah, these crazy teachers that we're seeing on like TikTok and Twitter and everything, like I definitely think it's by design, 100%, because
I do too.
They want the kids in there, don't they? They want them away from the mom and the dad, which is where they should be. And God, like, I always think about this, but I do genuinely do not know what I learned at school. I don't know. I really don't.
Thank God we learned the Pythagorean theorem. Like, we need that every day.
I'm trying to think back and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember history class, which is all bullshit. Maths, I used to like throw stuff at my teacher. anything else? I remember being in isolation a lot for being naughty. I don't know. But yeah.
So for everyone listening, check out Ray's podcast, Into the River, and also her most recent one on Q-tards. Because I didn't know this, but apparently she was a little shit growing up, causing trouble throughout school.
Hey, were you not a little shit? Were you good?
Oh, I was a little shit. Oh my God. Love stories it. For days.
We all
sometimes
were.
We'll just go through a nostalgia episode where we talk about shit we did when we were growing up. That would actually be really fun.
Yeah. No, I agree. I was going to say, there's no way that you weren't a little shit. Like, I can definitely see that you've got a little shit in there.
The first time I was sent to the principal's office was in second grade.
You have to translate. I don't think you can translate it for me. Let me do it. Hold on. Second grade, is that like... How old were you?
Seven. I was seven.
Oh, okay. Hey, and, that's God's number.
I climbed a fence, but it was like a 20-foot fence. It was like really tall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dumb, But I was already kind of like, this is, why am I sitting in this classroom? I'd spend all day looking outside, wanting to get out there. Yeah, no, we'll do a nostalgia episode, actually. That'll be fun.
Yeah, school fucking sucks. School sucks. They make you sit down all day, and they fuck your posture up. They mess you back up by sitting in those chairs all day. Like, I love the schools that do the standing. Like, you can learn and stand. Like, everything about it is just trash. People are trash, teachers are trash, kids are trash, so... Let's do a school episode.
Yeah, a school, and we can tie the children into that one pretty easily. I know we're kind of in the middle of a podcast and throwing out ideas for a future one, but for anybody still listening, that should build your excitement for the next one to listen to, because really, there's a lot happening with the children and developmental with both parents. We'll probably dive back into gender. And
yeah, but just quickly before that, did you see that picture of the children who are practicing their zombie walk to the cafeteria, and they had masks on? Gross. The grossest thing I've ever seen out of all of this time. They were like stood with their arms up with the masks on. It's gross.
Oh, okay. So yes, and there's another video where I love students who are just mini adults who are smarter than people give them credit for. There was another school that in between classes, you'd have like 3 minutes to go from your last class to your next class. And there was a video of a bunch of these kids who their entire school did not allow you to speak at all when you were in the hallways between classes. And the kids, being the little shits they were, all of the kids walking down the halls were screeching their shoes on the tile floors just to annoy the hell out of all the teachers. Like, I love it when... And it was just one kid, he started doing it, and then another kid, and then soon the entire hallway were just these high schoolers screeching their shoes on the floor.
I love it.
I love it when people stand up together.
It's so good. That's so good. But yeah, we'll definitely do an epi. But so we do this often. I'm really sorry, guys. Back to Nancy Pelosi, right? So she was banging on about the suffragettes and the color of a scarf that she was wearing. She did not address anything that happened, and I do not know how anybody could vote. Gabe's got so, I don't know if anyone who's listened to my last episode with Ashley, but I was telling you all about the first time I shot a gun and I lost the hearing in my left ear because my ear looks in properly, and I've got Gabe on the screen waving what is it, an AR?
Yeah, it's an AR-15.
And I'm just like, is that real? Is it real? I don't know. I'm just a stupid Brit. I have no idea. All I have is a kitchen knife. But yeah.
Very real.
Every
back
time...
on Nancy Pelosi. I have an innate instinct to pick up my AR when I start hearing Nancy Pelosi's name. I'm
sorry. I was just about to say. He's like...
I don't know.
When I say the word Nancy, he picks his gun up. And I'm like, don't do that. Is FBI agent straight on this, I'm telling you. But yeah, she's gonna get shot. Anyway, no, sorry. Joe's shot.
No, she'll be fine.
She'll somehow hang on. But yeah, she said nothing, and I wanna tie this back to what's actually happening, right? So let's just have a little bit of decorum here. My face hurts from laughing so much. Okay. So, we have a completely incompetent regime happening in the US. I don't even want to talk about the UK. It's pointless. I don't even think anything's happening really here. And maybe that's for another episode. But, yeah, we're just going to have to see how this pans out over the next... When's the deadline? Apparently, the Taliban have given them a deadline. Which you would think, if they want to kill everyone, they would just kill everyone, considering they chop everyone's heads off. But that's the 31st. That's next Tuesday.
Yep.
So Nancy Pelosi doesn't want to talk about anybody that's died in the bomb explosion. Or talk about, there is a video that I can direct you guys to this. It's Glenn Beck, even if you don't like him. It was today, I think, or yesterday, with... Do you recognize her name, Lara Logan?
No, I don't.
So... Yes, yeah, Lara Logan. It's called... In fact, I really want to post it on my Instagram. She basically is telling us how there are US... There was a pregnant... I don't know why the fuck you'd be pregnant and a US citizen and with a child in Afghanistan right now, but apparently there was. She fought her way all the way to the checkpoint or at the airport, and the US government said no, and they wouldn't let her come back. So I need to post that video, because there's some crazy shit happening. I don't know. We're going to see how it goes, I guess. It's awful to be saying that, sat here all comfortable and not in that situation. But yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely awful what's happening in Afghanistan right now. And obviously most of it is Joe Biden's response to pulling out our troops. There's not a single... So he actually didn't lie when he said half of... It was split decision between his generals. The problem was the generals that said he should pull out immediately were generals that had never seen combat. They were never on the ground. They don't know what's going on. They went through officer programs, and the generals that were saying, we've never done this before, you cannot just withdraw your troops, they were the ones saying, this is insanity, it's not going to go well. So he didn't lie when he said it was a split decision. He happened to go with the generals that said, hey, we're going to withdraw, and it'll be just fine. We've trained their Afghani military. One of the issues comes down to, at some point, why are we infringing on Afghanistan so much? Why are we so determined to? And if we are that determined, why are we not saving the 500,000, the 1 million, the 1.5 million Uyghurs in Western China? So what is the incentive to be helping Afghanistan so much? And that is when it comes down to the military-industrial complex and other large corporate businesses, because the Afghanistan has about $3 trillion in rare earth minerals. Mm-hmm. It also has 90% of the world's opium trade, which right now we know the U.S. is the number one profiteer off of opium and heroin. And we weren't necessarily there. We say we were there to help the people. We weren't ever really there to help the people. There were financial incentives the entire time. Most of our troops were guarding opium fields. And even if, let's say you are a feminist and you believe in human rights and you don't like how women were treated in Afghanistan, that's good. I support you rooting for your team and any human right violation. The problem is, that was a cover for why we were there. We weren't really there to introduce democracy to Afghanistan. That was never going to work. They have their own religion, and as bad as it is, they have their freedom of religion, which unfortunately the men can marry up to like 7 wives or something. So obviously not a very American democracy if you can marry 7 wives. And I know we want to help the world be a better place, but at what point... I was not gonna, our business sorry. To be there.
Yeah, I was going to say there'd be quite a lot of Western simps who would like to marry 7 wives, to be honest.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I wouldn't want to deal with 7 women, but I wouldn't mind. I mean,
love it.
I wouldn't mind being with... I mean, I don't know. That's... Okay, we'll get back to Taliban, but a quick fact. Part of the DNA within humans is the reason a man is usually more promiscuous is because throughout history, the man's goal has been to impregnate and spread as much of their seed as possible to propagate their own genetic future. Whereas a woman wants to hold down a man to protect her and her prodigy. So there is a real genetic and biological influence on how men and women treat relationships. And although I do believe in the nuclear family, there's a strong reason for why we think differently.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Like, everything you've just said, like, I know it's like, in terms of, I guess, evolution or whatever you think about evolution, but like reproduction and everything, yeah, like, that's what guys want to do. The thing is that everybody wants to fight this. They want to fight back and say, that's not true. This is how it should be. This is not how it should be. It's how it is. You're going to have to deal with it. And it's a shame. I don't believe that, you know, once a guy is... The thing is, if you've got societal things that are pushed onto guys as well and onto women, it's going to cause even a greater divide on that specific biological thing that you've just mentioned. So if you were to kind of say, right, okay, I know you want to spread your seed around, but you can have, like, 20 fucking babies with this woman. Just stick with this woman.
Right.
Because there's a lot of people that say, well, monogamous relationships are not natural, and it should be, like, what is it? Is it polyamorous? When, like... Anyway, this... getting off topic. But I do... I believe that the creator of a child, both side, should protect that child no matter what, so they should always be around for the child. So it's
I agree.
So I'm just gonna play this, it's not too long, it's just this clip before we finish up, because it's touching on Afghanistan. I think it's something that people need to hear. This is what I was talking about with Glenn Beck and Laura Logan, so I'll just start playing it. You've not heard it again, but
I can source, we have the same reports.
And I gotta tell you that, I mean, I have literally got photographs of, you know, a pregnant woman, wife of a DEA agent, with a child at the checkpoint, battered and beaten and bloody, who's fought her way to get there. We've got special operators, special operations guys and Marines, who are out there rescuing people, risking their lives, only to get to the airport and be denied access by the U.S. government, whether they instruct the Marines or the 82nd on the gates to shut them down, whether they shut down the Marines. Right now, one of my contacts that I've been working with for days said that he's had, you know, dozens and dozens of messages to the Marines have now gone unanswered. They've stopped talking to him. Everybody's scrubbing their packages, and they're on their way out. And, you know, now there's reports of a suicide bomber and gunfire, which families that I'm in touch with on the ground witnessed. I was talking them through it and trying to keep them calm. But I tell you what makes me so angry. They're going to say that they had to shut everything down early because of the threat level. And it is absolute nonsense. They were doing this and shutting it down long before that even happened. And even more reprehensible and dishonest, this is how disgusting these people are. They are now trying to say that Siraj Haqqani, the deputy leader of the Taliban, right, whose brother, Anas Haqqani, was sitting next to Zalmay Khalilzad, the U.S. presidential envoy at the talks in Doha, that they have separated from the Taliban and they've gone with ISIS-K. You know why they're saying that, Glenn? You know why they're making up that absolute lie? Because they know they've been called out. And I was one of the people that called them out. So was Tom Jocelyn at the Long War Journal and a bunch of others. Because the Haqqani Network is a foreign terrorist organization designated by the U.S. Government in 2012. And it is illegal under U.S. law to negotiate or support terrorists, to provide any kind of support for them in any way whatsoever. And now that it's been called out, look, lo and behold, how convenient. How convenient that suddenly the deputy leader of the Taliban has split away. I don't believe it for one single second. In fact, I'll put my life on it that that is an abject lie. Even if they say it themselves, that's a deal that they struck. When the head of the CIA went and met with Mullah Baradar, the man that they chose to lead the Islamic Emirates, and by the way, guess who they chose as their intel chief? The guy who's going to be in charge of intelligence for the Taliban is his strongest ally is who? The IRGC, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. He ran training camps for the Taliban inside Iran, and he and the new head of IRGC are bonded at the hip. And the one of the chief political advisors of the Taliban in Kabul right now, advising Mullah Baradar, is the other person in the Taliban who is close to IRGC. They're two top Iranian contacts. And you watch out, Israel and Taiwan and all of these countries all over the world, because right now, America's enemies are coming for us. And all these people are going about their daily life in America, and they want to talk about this, and they want to talk about that, and they just want to pretend that Afghanistan is not happening. You wait, because we are now isolated on the world stage. We are defined by betrayal and drenched in the blood of Afghans and American citizens.
She, it's hard to stop her because she's just non-stop. She does not draw breath. She's good though. Like her, so her thing is called Lara Logan Has No Agenda. And that was her speaking to Glenn Beck. So as we heard there, and just to finish up on this point, which is really interesting, the US government was stopping people from coming back. And this was before there was a threat or a terror threat.
Curious on why that was? Or is?
Say that again, sorry. I missed that.
Any theories on why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. If we're looking at the Biden administration, I don't...
Okay, sorry.
I was just going to quickly say before you tell us your theory. Apparently, in terms of equipment and leaving equipment behind, that's never a thing. Like, apparently they will burn everything to the ground before they leave. And so this is so fishy. This should be fishy to a general public person, but fishy to us too, in terms of how they went about this. Was this either completely out of the blue, needed to leave immediately, or was this just let's go because we've been told to go?
This actually comes back full circle to who is actually running office of the President of the United States. And China Joe used to be a joke. We used to say, oh, it's China Joe. It's becoming more and more likely. So China has already acknowledged the Taliban as one of the United Arab Emirate states. And China, it's the first bidder that gets their resources. And I don't know if Biden probably wasn't aware of the larger scheme, but it seems like in a deliberate withdrawal, they knew China would step in, recognize the Taliban as an official state, and the U.S. had two options. We could surrender our goal of democracy in Afghanistan, or, and with that, we would be surrendering all of the resources we have access to there. Or we could send more troops in for a never-ending war and pay another few trillion dollars to the military-industrial complex. Mm-hmm. The whole thing seems like a setup to fail. No matter how I look at it, it looks like it was a setup to fail.
What do you think the chances are that there's going to be a continued war from this under the Biden regime?
I'm sorry, a what? You cut out for a second.
A continued war. So, like, let's just, they want to withdraw after 20 years, and they want to go back in again.
We're already sending another 9,000 troops back. Very likely. And
isn't there, like, 70,000 Taliban, though?
Yeah, okay, so most people don't understand how well-trained the U.S. military is. To put in perspective, the Afghani military had about 300,000. The Taliban had about 75,000. The U.S. military never had much more than 20,000. And most of the time we had closer to 15,000 there. And we were overwhelmingly defeating and destroying their entire regime. Every single district they were in control of, they had no chance against the military in the U.S., the U.S. Army. and Marines and Air Force, Navy didn't do jack shit, but whatever. The U.S. military is not contestable. They dominated the region, so we didn't need the same numbers they did. Mm-hmm. So if we send in 9,000 people, the way our technology and our supplies and our training work, we're more than competent to take on a force of 5 times our numbers.
But
what was your question?
But they have all the equipment now, including the biometrics and eye scans and apparently fingerprints of all the Afghanis that helped the U.S. as well.
Okay, you're right. You're right. That's a big issue. They still aren't trained as well, but you're right. Now they do. They are on par with our equipment. So that is an issue. It does seem like it's leading into a never-ending war. So right now, we're sending troops in on the basis that we're just trying to get everybody we need to out of the country. However, more than likely, there will be catastrophic casualties that will lead to emotional outrage here in the U.S. and allow continued deployments of troops to Afghanistan. That would be my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, China is probably going to be paying for their rare earth minerals and their opium, which is going to be a money funnel directly to the Taliban. To me, it looks like it's going to be another long war that doesn't have a real end game and success.
Yeah, well, hopefully not that bad. I
hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I know that Trump made a statement today basically saying that, I can't find it now, I'm trying to find it, but basically saying that if the Democrats learn how to fought war like they fought for rigging an election, then they would have destroyed everyone by now. But yeah, like, Trump's been very vocal in terms of, like, blowing this shit up, or blowing the shit out of everyone so many times, but I can't find that statement. I was going to finish on that statement, but you've got it, like, paraphrased by Ray there, so it sounds about right. Pretty sure it's right. But, alright, so we're going to finish up now, because we've done about an hour and a half, and I wanted it to be an hour, so we did alright. It wasn't double that. So, going to finish up there. Everybody who wants to keep up with us, you can keep up with us on Instagram. It's qtaz_FM. This will be available in audio only on Spotify or Anchor. I still can't get Apple to work. This is not in video version, this particular episode, because I look like shit. So everybody who is still supporting us and following us, we love you so much. Thank you very much for listening. And we will see you on the next episode.
And check out episode 16. It was absolutely amazing. She had an amazing guest on who is your pretty typical American who voted Democrat most of her life and started reading a little bit more and changed her viewpoints. And she is very well spoken. Her podcast is Into the River. So I highly recommend you listen to that one. And if you've made it this far, please share, recommend, and at the very least, give feedback. If you liked it, if you didn't, let us know what you think. Let us know what you like. If you talk to us, we'll have you on.
Gabe, you still here?
Yeah, can you not hear me?
That last tiny bit. After you talked about Into the River, it went weird. Just say that again. You said like, recommend, share, and then...
Like, recommend, share. Well, at the very least, if you did get this far, give us feedback. And if you'd like to speak on the podcast, either as a guest,
yes,
or a full podcast, come on. We are more than welcome to talk to people either with similar viewpoints, different viewpoints. Me and Ray don't. Holy shit, did you just hear that?
Was that thunder?
Ray? enormous.
Are you?
Wow. Okay. Well, you've heard it from Gunn. Come on the podcast.
Gabe's breaking up. He's having a thunderstorm outside, and so the signal's a little bit weird. But yeah, like he said, if you want to come on, just message me and just DM us and let us know if you enjoyed this episode or any of the others. And he's right. The last episode with Ashley was absolutely amazing. So we'll see you on the next one. We'll be on episode 18. And yeah, we love you.